Amen. Before we look in the scripture, as a young married man, I made a mistake once. I've shared it before. It only happened once. But on Mother's Day, I didn't get Sandra anything for Mother's Day. And so when it was brought, you know, subtly brought to my attention, there are things you don't say to your wife. How many has been married long enough to discover that? Okay. She wanted to know why there was nothing for Mother's Day. And I wisely said, because you're not my mother. And she said, but I'm the mother of your children. And that's right. So I've never forgotten since. And so with that in mind, I just wanted to share briefly with you this morning what my children said about their mother on this Mother's Day. This is from Ashlyn, in, of course, she's in Neosho, Missouri. She said, my mother is a special person in my life. Since becoming a mother myself, my eyes have really been opened to all that mothers do and the responsibility that comes with being a mother. Mothers carry a great responsibility in raising their children. Their child's soul is the greatest of those responsibilities. And I'm very blessed that my mother raised me to love God. My mother is kind, hardworking, and a loving person. I'm so thankful for the love my mother showed me and the sacrifices she made for me. And then Micah, he's here with us. Micah said, I've always found my mother to be the exemplification of compassion and self-sacrifice because she always puts the needs of others above her own. When I'm wallowing in doom and gloom, my mother has the ability to walk into my life and with her radiating personality, dispel the dark feelings and light up my life once more, providing me encouragement and hope. I have yet to know an individual demonstrate such unconditional love as my mother does. For even when I'm being a poor, ungrateful son, she always finds it in her heart to forgive and to love. I doubt I would know God today if it were not for the prayers and godly examples she always set for me on a daily basis. Thank you, Mom, for all that you've done and continue to do for me. I'm eternally grateful. And then Hannah, who's still out with the choir, singing Bible school choir. My mother is a lady like none other. She always gives of herself and never complains. Many times she has sacrificed her needs, time, and money for others. For me, she's not only a mother, but also a friend, confidant, and teacher. Many times she's put her personal needs aside for me. She's helped bandage scraped knees and broken hearts, and she's always been there for me. She's a perfect example of what a mom should be. Some girls say the following statement without really meaning it, but someday I truly hope to be like my mother. I love you, Mom. And then, Andrew, aren't you glad I don't have 16 kids? Andrew, my mom is loving and kind to me. I love her more than anything. Even when she doesn't always let me do what I want to do, I still love her. I enjoy when she makes me blueberry pancakes. And when she tucks me into bed, I never want to get out. I love the times when I sit with her. Mom, roses are red, violets are blue. You are so sweet, and I love you. Thanks for being my mom. Oh, that's Mom right up here between Brother Lee and Brother Rose there. Amen. Would you turn your scripture to Book of Hebrews chapter 11? Again, we're so glad to have everyone here, and we're always glad to have Estes here, but I don't think I mentioned him a while ago. It's always a blessing to have them in service. And then I saw James walk in. James, good to see you, man. Been praying for you. All right. Don't forget tonight's service, Women in Worship. And that's always a great service to be in. Hebrews chapter 11. Did I say 13? Did I say 11? Okay. All right. Hebrews chapter 11. Begin reading at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That in particular I want to emphasize. When he was come to years, he refused to become or to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He quit calling her mom, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Praise the Lord. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I want to preach this morning on the other mother. The other mother. I believe every mother chooses what kind of mother she will be. Either a God-loving, God-serving mother, or a world-embracing, self-seeking mother. And in the life of Moses, we see both of those mothers. Now, the thing about Mother's Day sermons, they seem to be targeted too specifically. But if you're here and you have dependent children, then maybe you are in the crosshairs. But if not, certainly we can be supportive of our mothers that are yet raising their children. And in a sermon such as this, be right there with them in support and love and help. Don't you appreciate our mothers? Especially those with small children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, move by your Holy Spirit. May there be an eternal moment in this service today, in the preaching of your word. Make it real. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The other mother. Moses had two mothers. And it wasn't one of those weird, perverse, modern living arrangements. That's not what we mean. Moses had two mothers. One was his natural mother, and the other was his adoptive mother. The reason Moses had two mothers was because of horrible circumstances. Moses' natural mother was a slave, and an edict had been given that all of the children of the Israelites, God's people, if they were a male child, they should be cast into the Nile River where the crocodiles would consume them. But by divine arrangement, when Moses' mother had to give up her child, by divine arrangement, God had the princes of the world empire of the time. The princes have compassion on the slave's baby. And the princes then adopted and raised Moses, a child of the people of God. That's why Moses had two mothers. I've often wondered how it worked, how old Moses was when he rediscovered or remembered that he had another mother. I don't know how that all took place. Maybe she was with him long enough that the memory was riveted in his mind. But if she left when he was in an early age, his memory might have dimmed, or he might not have understood that that woman that had been instructive to him and had nourished him was in fact his mother. Whatever the case was, there came a time when Moses was aware that he didn't just have the princes of Egypt as his mother, he had another mother. And when that time came through the workings of God, even Moses chose that the other mother, he would follow her ways, her direction, her instruction. What a story that we have here. Yet the short time, however long it was that the natural mother was with Moses, that short time of her care resulted that when Moses became an adult, he rejected Egypt in all of its ways and made up his mind to follow the true and the living God. What an influence the other mother had on her child, Moses. Amen. This one mother was the princess. Moses called her mother for years. But then there was that other mother. And it was that other mother that had the greatest influence upon his life. I want to seem redundant, but I want to make the point. Moses had two mothers, an Israelite, a servant of God, and then he had an Egyptian mother. He had these two mothers. The Israelite mother was poor. She was a slave. She was dressed, no doubt, in rags. Yet, in spite of her poor situation, she was a daughter of faith. She was a person of promise. She was one that loved God and served him and taught Moses as a little child, taught him the right way. The Egyptian mother was a rich princess. She was dressed in the finest of muslins and silk. She had whatever she wanted. She had wealth and power and pleasure and all the things that attended a princess. She had the things of this world. And so Moses, on the one hand, had a mother that influenced him to worldly things. On the other hand, he had a mother that influenced him to godly things. He was known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was Pharaoh's daughter that was known to be his mother. But when he discovered the other mother, somewhere in that time frame, Moses, when he was grown, made the choice to follow the other mother. Amen. Moses made the choice that every Christian mother would desire that her children would make. I read to you the passage. Moses chose God over this world. Moses chose the path to eternal life over the pleasures of this world. Moses chose the eternal over the temporal. Moses chose to be the son of the other mother and not the son of the princess of Egypt. Hallelujah. What a choice. Moms, aren't those the choices you desire your children make? Amen. But Moses had a unique situation. Moses had to choose which mother would be his. Most of the children don't have to make that choice. But the point is, amen, your children can still have two mothers. Either they're going to have a mother that is godly and serves the Lord and teaches them the right ways, or they're going to have a mother of Egypt, a mother of this world, a mother that's caught up in the pleasures and things of this world and leads him in the wrong way. And so mothers, if you have children this morning, even you're going to choose which mother you're going to be, the Israelite mother, the woman of God, or you're going to be the Egyptian mother, the woman of this world. And the question before us is, which mother will you be? What kind of mother will your children have? Will they have an Israelite mother, a mother of Israel, or will they have an Egyptian mother? I want to pause to say, I know that Moses was grateful that he had an Israelite mother. And I want to say, I'm thankful that we have women all over this congregation, women with young children, moms with young children. Even they had the choice, but they said, I'm not going to be the Egyptian mother. I'm going to be the Israelite mother. I'm going to be the woman of faith. I'm going to be the woman of God. And I'm going to teach my children in the ways of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I want to talk about Moses' other mother. And I want to show you some things that if you make the choice to be the Israelite mother, these are things that will have to be true to your life. Number one, she refused to let the enemy have her child. The real mother, the other mother, refused to let Pharaoh, the enemy, have her child. In Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1, we could back up in chapter 1, we don't have it here, but the Bible says that King Pharaoh gave an edict, a command, that all the male children born of an Israelite woman were to be cast into the river. That was the command. He was the enemy. But in chapter 2, verse 1, listen, there went a man of the house of Levi. He took a wife, the daughter of Levi, Jochebed, we're told later, was her name. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she did not take and throw him in the river. She allowed no one to take her child and throw her child in the river. She hid him in disobedience to Pharaoh in the face of the danger of the enemy. She hid her child 3 months. You have to contrast what Moses' mother did compared to what so many other mothers did. They just gave up on it. They just said yes to the enemy. They surrendered their children and heard their cries as the Egyptian soldiers threw their children to certain death in the river. But not Moses' mother. She refused to let the enemy have her child. Amen. It was not a good time in Egypt for the birth of an Israelite male. But I want you to know it's not a good time for the birth of any child, the times we live in right now. How many knows that? And Jesus told us that there's coming a time, woe is the one that has a child. Woe is the one that has a young child in the times that are coming. And we do live in those times. But mothers in those times, a bad time to have a child. I'm talking about the evil and the wickedness. In those times, you can be like Moses' mother. You can say it's a bad time to raise a child. The enemy's everywhere. Wickedness is everywhere. But as a mother, I refuse to let the enemy have my children. I just refuse it. That's what Moses' mother did. Amen. The mother of Moses saw clearly the danger her child was in and the forces that sought his destruction. She knew all that. And she saw what she would be up against in trying to keep that child and raise him. And she also, the Bible said, saw that he was a goodly child. It wasn't just the danger he'd been up against her child. She saw the potential of her child. I know there's an enemy out there, but there are moms that can stiffen their backbone and say, in the face of the attack of the enemy upon homes and children, I refuse to give up my child to the wickedness of this world, and I'm going to raise my child in the things of God, because I look at my child and I don't see just another one that's going to go the ways of the world and be destroyed by sin. But in my child, I see a boy or a girl that can become a man of God or a woman of God and serve the Lord, and I refuse to give them up to the enemy. It's a wise and godly mother that, yes, sees the danger that her children are in, and yes, sees that her children has an enemy that would devour and destroy them by whatever possible means. She sees the danger of certain peers and says, my child won't run with that crowd. She sees the danger of certain things that children are watching on the television, and she said, my children won't watch that. She sees that there are twisted people who would prey upon her children, and she said, they're not going to get to my children. She sees her certain attitudes that if she allows to remain in her children will destroy them. And she simply says, I refuse to allow the enemy to have my children. You see, beyond the bad movie, the bad music, the bad person, she sees behind it all one more ruthless than Pharaoh, one who would love to take her children and do more than just throw them in the river, but entrap them and steal them from her and kill them and destroy them. But as Moses' mother, she says, I refuse to give up my child. I'm not afraid of Pharaoh's commandment because I know what my God can do. And I've got an awful enemy, but I've got my faith in God. Listen, mothers, you can truly say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and I refuse to let him have my children. Amen. She wasn't going to sit back and let the enemy have them. Secondly, the other mother, she reached a place she conceded she could not take care of her child on her own. I'm not talking about just taking care of physical needs, but the Bible says in verse 3, and when she could no longer hide him, the other mother reached a place she realized, I can no longer do this. The enemy soldiers are everywhere. And I just can't do this anymore. They're going to find him. There's lots of mothers that get to that place and raising their children. They say, what I'm up against in raising my child is bigger than I am. I don't know what it might be. It might be when the child has a chronic sickness, when the child has a behavior problem and you've done everything you can to remedy it and the behavior problem's still there. Maybe it's when the children begin to grow up and make their own decisions and they're making bad choices. But there comes a time when even a godly mother, like this other mother, will say, I have done all that I can do, but I can't do this on my own. I've got to have help. You know, sometimes children and husbands think that their mothers are super beings. You know, they do seem, don't they, children? They do seem all-seeing. They got eyes in the back of their head. They can see through walls to the other side of the house. Amen. They can wash dishes, wash clothes, cook a meal, and vacuum all at the same time with their 16 dozen hands. I mean, moms are super moms. And I do marvel at all that moms can do. They do the unimaginable. But it is a wise mother who, like Moses' other mother, realizes that after all she does to help her children, raise them in the things of God, even after all she does, she's going to need divine assistance. It's bigger than she is, and she needs supernatural help. Moses' mother said, it's got to the point I can't do this any longer. I can't hide him any longer. And then the other mother, she relinquished her child to the providential and sovereign care of God. I'm not trying to bother you with big words, but I want you to know it'd be a wonderful thing if Christians would get back a hold of those words again. The providential and sovereign care of God. We got to believe that God is in control. And if we're trying to do things God's way, he's going to be involved. How many believes that? Look at verse 3. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. Put the child therein. She laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to know, to wit, what would be done with him. Now, when she got so she couldn't handle the situation any longer, she did not abandon her child. She put him in the hands of God. She didn't abandon him. We've got a lot of that happening in the news. It was bigger than she was, but she didn't abandon him. She put him in the hands of God. She said, God, I have done all that I can do. There's nothing else I can do. So here, God, my child is in your hands. She wasn't giving him up. She wasn't surrendering Moses to the forces that were trying to kill him. She was surrendering him to the providence and the sovereign protection and care of God. Hallelujah. See, here's the thing. When she couldn't hide him any longer, she didn't take him and throw him in the river. She did not do that. Amen. She did not surrender him to the fate that Pharaoh commanded. Instead of throwing him into the river, she gave him the means of floating on the river. Hallelujah. Of being above that which would destroy him. Amen. You see, you have mothers, I'm talking to you. There are times you can't do it any longer, but you don't give it up. And you don't abandon your child. You give your child to God. And see, I've done all I can do, but God, I'm putting my child in your hands, in your care. Amen. But notice, even as she surrendered her child to God, she did not leave things to chance. She still did everything she could do. What did she do? She took every measure possible. She put legs on her prayer. How? She took that ark, whether she made it herself or found one, that basket of tightly woven bulrushes, she took that ark and she took the greatest care that she could to make it sink proof and watertight. She dabbed it with slime, put the clay on it, and put the tar on it, the pitch on it, and then she even put things within it to make it as comfortable as possible. She said, yes, I can't do it. Yes, I've got to surrender my child to God. But she just didn't sit back. She did everything possible, left nothing to chance. She launched that ark at a place probably known where the princesses bathed and were apt to come. She stationed her older daughter there to watch and see what happened. Mothers, I'm saying, yes, you turn your child over to God. You place your children in His hands. But that doesn't mean you do nothing. You continue to do the best you can to teach your child, guide your child, lead your child, nourish your child. But you know that in the end, it's going to be God that protects, and God that provides, and God that gets involved, and God that enables. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thing to know? When you reach the end of your strength, here, God, you take my child. Amen. I'm not giving it up to the enemy. I'm giving him up to your care and your protection. Hallelujah. Amen. She didn't just cast her child into the river. She made the means whereby he could float on the river. Hallelujah. She made every effort for his survival. She wove those bulrushes into a customized boat just his size. She made a floating crib. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, mothers, that must have been meticulous work if she made it herself, taking those reeds and weaving them. It would have taken hours of weaving, doing the same thing over and over to make that ark. It was dirty work to get the clay and the pitch and put it on there. But I want to tell you, every time, even as a little baby, every time you sing your child a lullaby about Christ, every time you teach them a Bible story, every time you pray with them when they're sick or pray with them before they go to sleep at night, every time you bring them to Sunday school, every time your child sees you worshiping in the house of God and praying at the altar, what you're doing is you're building that ark. You're weaving those reeds together. You're applying the pitch and the slime. Amen. All those little things you do over and over for the Lord and in the things of God and for the care of your child. Amen. You're not wasting your time. You're preparing the ark. And if you're preparing the ark, God will make a way. It's going to float right into his care and providence. Amen. I imagine it was very hard when the other mother lowered that ark into the Nile River and launched it in the water. Can you imagine the struggle of her heart when she had to let go of that ark on the river? Moms know that, especially when their kids get older. The ark's no longer this big. It gets pretty big. But every mom knows the pain of heart when she has to launch the ark on the river and let go of it. I remember times with some of the issues that you always face with your children. I had one of my children say, they're adults now, but say, Mom, Dad, you taught us right. You're just going to have to quit worrying and trust. Trust in what you taught us. Amen. There comes a time to let go of the ark. But if you've built that ark in the things of God, you can let go knowing God's able to make it float and take it where it needs to be. Amen. I'm talking about the other mother and what she did. Your child will not drown in the river of this world. Your child can float upon it dry and safe from its destruction. But the greatest influence of whether or not your child drowns in the river or floats to safety is dependent upon you being the other mother, you being the godly mother. What about this other mother? She was rewarded for her faith with the divine intervention of God. Oh, this is a wonderful story. We usually just leave it in little kids' Sunday school class, but look at verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. The world would put it this way. She just so happened on that day to come down to the river. That's the way the world would put it, isn't it? And her maidens walked along by the riverside, and the world would say, and she just happened to notice the ark there among the flags, the reeds. And she just happened to be in the frame of mind that she set her maid to fetch it. And she just happened to open the lid and saw the child. And at that moment, the baby just happened to be crying and weeping. And her heart, she had compassion on him. I don't believe it was just so happened. I believe it was divinely arranged and orchestrated by the hand of God. Oh, mothers and all of us, if we could just get a hold of that, when we've done all we can do, we can know that God is divinely arranging the things of our life for our good. She had compassion and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. And verse 7, then it just so happened that Moses' sister was... No. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the woman went. She didn't have to go to a babysitter's hiring agency. She went to the child's mother. Look how God arranged this. Moses' mother said, I can't take care of him anymore. God said, do all you can do and turn him over to me and I'll make a way you can take care of him. And God did that. God providentially and sovereignly arranged for his protection and well-being when the other mother surrendered that child to God. All of these things I've mentioned, the place of the ark, the timing of the princess to come to bathe, the curiosity that was piqued in her, the fact that Moses just cried at that moment, and the princess said yes to Miriam, go get whomever you choose. And it was, as we know, the mother of Jesus. Isn't this an irony? Amen. I haven't ever preached it, but there's a lot of the ironies of God in Scripture. But here's one of them. God carried the ark on the river. In other words, he used the river to save Moses, the very river Pharaoh wanted to use to destroy Moses. Isn't that something? God still does that. That's what Joseph said later. He said, you meant it for evil, but God made it good. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I know it's simple, but I want to say it again. God used the very instrument the enemy sought to destroy Moses with. God used that to save Moses. Amen. God made a way for Moses' mother to care for him in a place of safety. She no longer had to worry about the footsteps of the Egyptian soldiers coming up the walk of the home to take her child, because now her child is in one of the houses of Pharaoh, safe from the soldiers. She doesn't have to worry as a slave what she's going to feed her child, because now he's in a place, he's going to have the best that Egypt has to offer. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just saying, God made a way. Hallelujah. And God made a way Moses' mother could raise her child for him. And listen, Christian mom, if you want to raise your children in the right way, even no matter how difficult it is, even if the father is absent or gone, even though there's all kinds of things against you, if you determine to raise your children in the things of God, God will make a way. I said, God, he's as interested in you raising your children for him as you are, and God will make a way. Hallelujah. Think of the lullabies Moses' mother sang him, the stories she told him of Abraham and Isaac. Amen. The faith she modeled before him, the prayers he heard her pray, even that stuck with him. Amen. And it'll be so with your children too. And last of all, this other mother, she was recompensed for her love and her care. Look what it says here, verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the mother took the child and nursed it. Here she's saying, I don't even know how I can continue to take care of my child. God made a way she could keep on taking care of her child and paid her for doing it. That's another irony in Scripture. Pharaoh said, kill those Israelite babies. And now, unbeknownst to Pharaoh, one of those babies' mother is on his payroll. And he's paying to raise the very kid he wanted to kill. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you mothers would like to get paid for everything you do for your children? They figured at one time, it's an astronomical figure, well, you'd have to pay a mom to do everything she does. I had a friend once, his wife was gone and his babies were small, and one of them had a messy diaper. and he took, this is back when $5 was a good hourly wage, and he took his child down the street to a woman and said, "I'll pay you $5 if you'll change my kid's diaper." Moms don't get paid $5 every time they change a messy diaper. How many be rich if you had got paid $5 every time? In fact, you about pay $5 every time because you got to pay for the diaper. But I want to tell you, you may not get paid monetarily, but if you raise your child for God, you're going to be paid abundantly by the grace and the mercy and the strength and the love of God. You know, even though Moses' mother was paid, and I hope she lived long enough to it, the greatest recompense she had for raising her child was that Moses, when he became an adult, could have had perhaps almost any position in the kingdom, could have had its wealth and its pleasures. But her recompense was that when her son became an adult, he chose the ways of God over the ways of the world. Mothers, isn't that the greatest recompense? Those of you that have adult children, can't you say it's the greatest recompense is to have your children choose to serve your God? Pharaoh paid her wages. But I believe even before they get grown, our God will recompense the mother that is doing her best to raise her children. There'll be moments of grace and mercy and joy poured out upon you. Hallelujah. There'll be hard and frightening and strenuous times. Yes, those times will come. But in those times, God will be so good to you as a mother. He'll pour out His mercy and grace that when the child is grown, you'll say, "I do it all over again." Especially in our times, every woman with a child. Would you come, music? Especially in our times, every woman with a child has a potential to be one of two mothers. You can be the Egyptian mother. You can be the one that's in tune with the world, the one who's chiefly interested in fashion and fortune and even fun, the mother that lives for her own self, her own goals, her own desires. Yes, she may feign an interest in her child. She may say, "I want my child to have the best of education, the finest clothes." You may take your children through the gamut of sports and the arts and involve them in all of that. Many choose to be the Egyptian mother. Or you can choose to be the Israelite woman. You may be like Moses' other mother, be a slave in the sense that you don't have much. Amen. Just barely above the poverty level of existence. Yet you can be the mother whose chief concern is the spiritual well-being of her children. You can be the mother that causes her children to learn the Bible, that sings the Bible stories, that desires that her child love and follow God. Amen. She wants her children to experience the presence of God in the house of God. And so every mother has that decision. You can be the Egyptian mother, or you can be the Israelite mother. And just like Moses had two mothers, in reality, every child has two potential mothers. He's either going to have an Egyptian mother or an Israelite mother. Oh, I want you to know it's true in all of us. We have two natures at war. We have the carnality, the spiritual, the worldly, the godly. And it's true with our mothers. Amen. The struggle is there. The decision is there. Am I going to be the Egyptian mother or the Israelite mother? I want to tell you, if you'll choose to be the Israelite mother, there'll be a day when your child will choose your God. Hallelujah. Amen. Choose to be the other mother, not the Egyptian princess. Amen. I'm not saying that our Israelites' mothers let themselves go, but they don't spend the hours of every day in the pampering, in the beauty parlor, and having their nails done and thinking about only how can I stand out in the fashion of the day. No, sir. They're thinking every day, how can I be a godly example? How can I teach my children in the things of God? Hallelujah. Moses chose the other mother. He chose the Israelite mother over the Egyptian one. And I tell you, in the end, they may not realize it yet. They may be too young or too set of their own ways. But in the end, Amen. Every child that would have a choice, I think he would choose that his mother be the Israelite and not the Egyptian princess. Amen. Hallelujah. Moses' other mother prepared him to know God and to do his will. Both of the mothers influenced Moses. But when it came time to make a decision, Moses went with the other mother. She affected his eternity. Hallelujah. Moses starts with the M. Micah. He comes home. When he comes in, he hugs Sister Hershey. Go ahead, I'll do it. I won't call him up. Can you stand up? Because we're about the same height. Micah claims to be a quarter inch taller than I am, but he's got hair on top and I don't. He comes in and hugs her. I asked her the other day, I said, and this is a term of endearment, the term I'm about to use. I said, how does it make you feel when that big old galoot comes in and hugs you and you think that big old thing, that big old son, used to be that small life you carried in your womb and that little baby infant that you held in your arm. And look at him now, that little baby. Look at the big old galoot he is now. I want to tell you, in all of that, it's more than just the hug that he gives her. I know my wife, and her greatest gratefulness is that Micah, as an adult, made a decision. He's going to serve God. He chose the way of the other mother. But I'm telling you, more than that, I haven't talked to him. I haven't over this sermon or about this subject. But I think if we had asked Micah, he is thankful and grateful that his mother chose to be the Israelite mother and not the Egyptian one. Amen. Would you stand across the building? Amen. Let's thank God for the mothers of Israel. Could we do that? The mothers that have raised their children in the things and the ways of God. Let's thank God. Would you, all over the building? And if you're a child and you've got a godly mother, would you just lift your hands and say, thank you, God, that my mother chose to be the other mother. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I'm just going to give this altar call, whether your children are grown or not. And if you're married and maybe you haven't had a child yet, God can bless you. Amen. I don't know why I'm saying this either, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. We have some friends. He was my assistant in the dorm. I don't know how old they are, just a little bit younger than my wife, so 44, 45. Been married way over 20 years. And I just heard yesterday they had their first child. They'd prayed, desired. God has blessed them. So I want to say this. Maybe you don't even have a child yet, but you're married. And you want to choose to be the other mother. Maybe you've already made that choice. I'm not saying that. But you want to be the other mother. You want to be the Israelite mother for your children. I want to ask you as moms, if you just come and stand across the front this morning, would you do this? We got time for this. The restaurant's going to be crowded any way you look at it. Amen. It won't matter if you're roast, if you're cooking at home's a little more dry. This is more important. Amen. You're a mother and you want to be the Israelite mother. And by coming, you're saying, I'm making that decision. I want to be, just come and come as close as you can. I'm making the decision. I want to be an Israelite mother. Hallelujah. Oh, the grace of God is wonderful. I'm thankful for all these mothers. Sister Tina, she's one of the first ones that came. I'm telling you, when she got saved, it wasn't just about personal salvation. I'll tell you, because I've talked with her. When she got saved, she made up her mind she was going to be a mother in Israel. She was going to lead her children in the right way. Amen. You just like to come and say, I want to choose. Amen. We got room clear across here. Amen. Thank you for coming, Sister Wilson. Hallelujah. Amen. We got room. Can you kind of go in the wings a little bit? I want to have families get in behind you if you can. Look at this. Isn't this great? I didn't think out the logistics of this. That's okay. I'm just glad to see these ladies coming. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Leave one little path right here, just one little door open. No, come ahead, but just leave one little door here. Amen, because I'm going to make way. Now, if you're a husband or a child and your wife or mother is up here, I want you to come. Listen, husbands, Amen. Children, I want you to come. If you can't get behind your spouse, there's a doorway right here between Sister Tanya and Sister Maggard. You can come up here on the platform with me and find your wife. Amen. Would you come, men? And would you come, children? Find your mother or your wife. And I want you to thank God for them and pray with them that God will give them their wages right now in spiritual things. Could you pray that way with me? That God would give them their wages in spiritual things. Any of you that want to, you can come right up here. It'll help you get closer. Amen. Feel welcome to come right up here on the platform if that help you get closer. Leave a little door so folks can get in. Hallelujah. 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 Moms, I want to tell you one more time. It's more than making a decision. It's giving your children to the Lord. You're going to need divine assistance. So in making that choice, moms, I'm grateful that you came. But I want to ask you, could you not lift your heart and hands and say, God, I want your divine assistance. I want your divine help. And I want you husbands and children, lay your hands on mom or wife. Amen. Lay your hands on them right now. Let's pray together. Would you do that? Children, pray for your mom. Amen. Let's pray. Come on, let's really pray. Amen. We have an enemy. Amen. But we refuse to give up our children to that enemy. Lord, recompense these mothers. Give them their wage. Give them grace. Give them strength. Give them the presence of God in their life. Give them the power of God in their life. Moms, go ahead and pray and say, oh Lord, I refuse to give up my children. I'm going to be the Israelite mother. I'm going to teach them the things of God. I'm going to be the godly example. I'm going to lead them in the things of God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's pray, church. Hallelujah. We got an enemy, but we got a God who is able to help us overcome and defeat. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, give these ladies their wages right now. Give these ladies their wages right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's believe for divine intervention in this place right now. Oh God, encourage some mom right now. Encourage her, strengthen her. Let her feel grace. Let her feel the mercies of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.